Maybe.
Yep. First turn, Goosh drank wine, pokes through there at the fence to put a neck on top. Second, Seek back to third is Impunity. Growth Engine is on the outside of Rise the Guy, so the favorites are in step with each other, or they're about four lengths off the lead. They're followed by Mantra, and the trailer is the Trashman's coming. Around the first turn they go. The opening quarter was complete in 23-4, and at a big price, it's Marcos Meneses and Goosh Drank Wine on top now by a length and a quarter. Second end, Seek, third, Impunity. Parked four wide for a backstretch run. It's Growth Engine working two better than Rise the Guy, who's unhurried under Landeros, about 5.5 lengths off the lead, a neck better than Mantra, and the trailer is the Trashman's coming. They head down the backstretch and go to the half-mile point, and with the advantage, Goosh Drank Wine through a 47-4 half-mile. He has the lead. Second is Anseek, third is Impunity, fourth is Growth Engine, but he's on the move now for Castellano. It's a gap of three to a ridden Rise, the guy who needs to launch an attack soon. Ahead of the Trashman's coming, then Mantras, they round the far turn. It's Growth Engine who comes away with the lead. Impunity is second. Rise, the guy, now starts to find his best stride in the red cap. He's up into second from his outside, and the Trashman's coming as they run to the top of the stretch. There's a quarter of a mile left to go, and it's up front to Growth Engine. Growth Engine at the quarter pole leads the way. The Trashman's coming is now the nearest pursuer second. Rise the guy made a big move to get into second, but he's flattening out and now back to third as Growth Engine hits the eighth pole at a four-length lead. It's Growth Engine in front. Second is the Trashman's coming. Third is Rise the guy, and that's how they'll finish. Growth Engine delivers as the big favorite. The Trashman's coming clearly second. Rise the guy third, and Seek and Impunity in 145-1.
Well, there's Seth Klarman and Chad Brown with a second-time starter, and this was the horse that finished behind Global Campaign in their respective maiden debuts, a $300,000 tappet out of Wild Vision. Ron Winchell bred Growth Engine, and frankly, 6-5 was a good number.
Boost for that form also, very interesting to look at going forward, that the form of that maiden race seems like might be making an impact as the year goes on here, for sure.
We're done at Gulfstream. We're done at Aqueduct as well, the Laurel 6th. And, Pete, let's get a glance at the board. They have gone through the Laurel 5th, so that does incorporate things like the Buff Bradley Cap Horse.
Absolutely. I'm trying to refresh it on the screen here, because it cycles through so fast on there. Of course, I'm having trouble getting it to
the Tampa 6th is also about 6 minutes away. So Laurel 6, Tampa 6, Fairground 5, and Oaklawn 3, 4 races, Pete.
We have a new leader, and it's Jim Meeks, former Horse Player World Series winner, 300-180. Robert Gilbert, the longtime leader, in second, 293-20. Randy Gallo, that huge day yesterday, professional horse player, one of the most respected of anyone competing in these events, 285-60 in third. Steve Simonovich has hit again, back up into fourth, 270-60. A new name in the top ten, Joe Perry, in fifth at 270-20. Stefan Gravina in sixth, 265-40. Last year's winner, Chris Littlemore, in seventh with 264. Frank Klitsch in eighth, 260-30. Marshall Graham, 255-70. But I believe he might have hit something subsequently. I think he's going to be moving up there. And right now, the final spot at the final table, as of that last leaderboard update, belongs to the rookie, John Pinder, 255-60. Brian, you know any of those players?
Yeah, Joe Perry, number five, plays in every single Monmouth contest. He snuck in yesterday. I think he was like $2 from the line with no bullets left and sweated out to make it. And then I saw him yesterday downstairs at night, and he was optimistic. He said he was $30, you know, because everything is grouped so tight. Obviously.
Yeah, that's an amazing journey.
He said he was about $30 away from really being in contention, so he must have hit something pretty good.
He's got it. What else can you tell us about him? Is he a Jersey guy?
He is. He lives in Jersey. He very interesting. You know, he's always in contention. He's a great player, but he much prefers the live season contest because he goes down to the paddock and looks at him.
Oh, interesting.
You know, so he's kind of in the mix in the simulcast series ones, but he much prefers to be there, look at the horses, and go by that. I know he said he had I think his brother, he said, was at Fairgrounds on. I guess the first day of the contest, so Friday, maybe it runs in the family. They like to look at horses. So
he had a man in the paddock.
He had someone down there looking at horses, which he gave him a good price there. Incredibly nice guy, great handicapper, always right there, and not surprised at all to see him in the top 10.
Very cool. That is certainly a big run from all the way in the back, it sounds like. Skating in on the cut line and then making a big move today. Must have picked up $90 today, you know, if he just made it in off the cut.
Yeah, no, he always has kind of a confidence to him. Like, you know, he's always right there, so he has a little swagger to him. And last night he said, you know, it only takes one. $30 away can be one horse.
Well, and I was just about to say, the top 10 is separated by $50 and change. They're in the gate at Laurel. This is a seven-horse field, and let's see what we can do here. We've got a 2-to-1, two 2-to-1s, a 5-to-2, and a 9-to-2. So, again, one of those races that grouped favorites, and look for somebody alternative, maybe a 9-to-2 for Graham Motion, maybe, flying the flag. Let's listen to Dave Rodman's call.
Fourth is Jump, Jive, and Whale, about 5 lengths from the pace, and Swinging Star and Ego Trip is seventh, the last one, with 6.5 furlongs left to go. Flying the flag in a 25.27 crawling opening quarter mile. Threes over deuces, tattooed inside of Threes over deuces, just taking second. Crocelli is in fourth, and Jump, Jive, and Whale up against the slow pace ahead. Swinging Star and Ego Trip trailing the field. Flying the Flag leads the way from tattooed by 2 lengths, with Threes over deuces right alongside, still third position. Another 2.5, and Crocelli and Jump, Jive, and Whale trying to get closer as they bunch a bit. Swinging Star, and last is Ego Trip. 49.83, the half-mile fraction for Flying the Flag. Threes over deuces and tattooed head-to-head for second. And Jump, Jive, and Whale has 5.5 to make up with 3 furlongs left to go. Then it's back to Crocelli and Swinging Star and Ego Trip trailing the field. 2.5 furlongs left, 6 furlongs, a minute 14.27. And it's Flying the Flag trying to go on with it. Threes over deuces at the outside, and tattooed is third near the inside. Jump, Jive, and Whale is fourth, final furlong and a half. Flying the Flag has saved something, leads Threes over deuces. Tattooed's trying to punch in between horses, driving finish. 3 chances, Flying the Flag, tattooed on the outside. Threes over deuces, Jump, Jive, and Whale trying to chime in. Photo finish, tattooed or Flying the Flag. Flying the Flag and tattooed in a photo.
Flying the Flag
with Jump,
is gonna
Jive,
win this
and Whale.
Photo.
Threes over deuces.
He's going to win this photo. He would not relent. Absolutely, he's going to win. The inside, I think, wins this photo at 9-2. And this will be important. Brian Skirka, an absolute pleasure, as always, to see you, and thank you.
I appreciate it, Steve.
Brian Skirka. And Chris Larmy jumps in, and Larmy joining us. No, you can say he's good. He's got to do some UK response. Maybe he does. I don't know. Let's see what he says. Pete coming back here, and here's the photo. And actually, boy, this is so dead tight. But I could have sworn right when they hit the wire that oof.
I can't call that one.
I will see. Tattooed the 3, the Tim Keefe runner with Victor Carrasco. 5-2, but I'm calling it for Graham Motion, who looked like the right alternative. We were talking about the bunched odds, and so often you want to go somewhere else. You want to find a stranger. And they're showing the 7 and the 7. Look at that. How about that? How about calling the, not just a pick. I usually don't try to call them at the wire, but that was all right.
Yeah, I will be dipping out of here in just a minute. The Brits are very curious to learn more about these handicapping tournaments, Steve, so I'm going to go on there, and I think I can increase our international listenership. We'll get people listening to the live broadcast.
There you go. Outstanding.
We can have that on in the background while they're betting the USA action tonight. So, I'm here until they call, and then I will go away for 10
minutes. Oh, there you go. All right. Well, let's keep an eye on where we stand, because now, after the Laurel 6th is done, we're down to the Tampa 6th, the Fairgrounds 5th, and the Oaklawn 3rd. 6 minutes to Oaklawn. It is post time at Tampa, but they got the long walk up the chute. Do you play Tampa, Chris, much?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a very long walk up the chute. I think Tampa and Gulfstream are having a competition to see who can drag out post time longer. It's pretty close. pretty close.
Well, and the Gulfstream is creating this war by running on top of everybody in an attempt to keep eyes on their signal, and it's deplorable. There's no other word for it.
Well, it definitely doesn't help you in a contest like this when you're trying to keep track of the post times for eight different tracks.
Have you gotten lost at all? Has post drag ever cost you in a contest?
I'm sure it has. It hasn't really cost me this year just because I'm really conscious of it, and I just, if I have to, I'll put a play in a little early just to make sure I don't run on top of one race on top of another.
A quick note here, looking at the Tampa 6th, and these are fillies and mares which have never won a race other than maiden, claiming, or starter, or have never won two. And this group, they're going to obviously, as I said, up the chute, and so a mile and a 16th on the good turf right now, and 1160 and 540, a very helpful number for those that found Graham Motion at Laurel. Absolutely a bonus, and a quick rundown of this field. Here we go. Bella Pirina.
That's the winner. That's my play of the day.
Is it?
Yes.
10-1 shot.
Yeah.
All right, folks, punch your tickets up. The one. Tampa Bay 6, the one horse. Here's screenwriter, a ghost zapper for Bruce Lunsford. And, of course, Bruce Lunsford, first samurai, famous for First Samurai. And if only he had beaten... if only he had won that Senate race years ago. We could have only hoped, and he came close. 6-1 on the Minchell trainee, screenwriter, Lady Love, the 3, Tony Granitz, and Willie Martinez, 4-1. Monkey Mind, Victor LeBron for Keith Nations, 18-1
live,
there.
Live long shot, that 4.
There you go.
That's
so box the 1-4. Then the 6 is Boston, Danny Gargan and Sammy Camacho, 9-2. The 7, Good Marks, an Irish Bred for Mike Stidham with Jose Bracho, which is very close. That's basically the Hispanic version of Joe Bravo, Jose Bracho. And then a Little Irish Dancer, Mike Tomlinson, Scott Spieth, 7-1.
Solid,
and then,
solid.
Look at you. So we're going to box up the three prices. then Shalala, Fergal Lynch for Chad Brown, the 9-5 favorite. They're in the gate for the Tampa 6th, our last from Tampa before final table time.
They're off. Monkey Mind is away sharply and reaching up for the early lead. Bella Pioneer is along the rail, and Balston is away in good order, as well as Screenwriter moving up to join the top flight. And the last horse away, the late-running Lady Love. They've been through the stretch for the first time, and Monkey Mind drops over to the rail and has the lead. Three parts of a length. Balston draws alongside now second. A break of two, Screenwriter with a ground-saving trip toward the rail now third. Little Irish Dancer, she races in the two-path. Now fourth, Bella Pioneer is along the rail now, racing along fifth, with Good Marks moving up now to be sixth. Little Irish Dancer from between horses, 2.5 lengths farther back to Lady Love as they settle for their journey up the backstretch. Long shot, Monkey Mind takes them along on the lead, three parts of length. Boston continues to stalk second. Screenwriter is there toward the rail third. Shalaya right there between horses fourth. Good Marks is going for a three-wide run on the outside fifth. Bella Pioneer is toward the rail sixth with 3 furlongs to run. And now Balston Camacho sends her up to challenge. Monkey Mind is still there toward the rail. There's the favorite Shalaya. Now on the move third. 2 lengths farther back. Good Marks swings to the outside now fourth. It's wide open and they cut to the wire. Balston strikes to the lead. Screenwriter is toward the rail. From between horses, Monkey Mind battling back gamely. Shalaya hanging around on the outside from far back. Here comes Lady Love. Absolutely finally down to the wire. It's Lady Love. Willie Martinez to get up in a well-timed ride in the shadow of the wire. Screenwriter was second. Balston third.
Well, here's a place where Shalala, Richard Grunder forgot there was a second L in the name, and Shalala 2-1 is beaten and kind of grinded, and Screenwriter second 7-1. That's going to help people, and of course the winner Willie Martinez for Tony Granitz, Tri County Stable. Oh wow, this is a just enough humor. This is a New York bred, sure, New York bred out of Lady Bye Bye. And very familiar to New York players, and the 5-year-old mare, Lady Love, at 9-2. another nice number. And with the 2-1 favorite out, you're going to get a decent place price, too.
Keith making an announcement. Just about the upcoming schedule.
Yeah, he's actually behind us.
Yeah, he's reading the leaderboard that we went over before. Chris, based on what you're seeing on this leaderboard, what do you think it's going to take to make the final table?
Probably like $260, I think, right in that place.
I think
Paul was thinking it was going to be a little higher.
$255.
Okay, so yeah, so that's right in line. And of course, what prices come in could change that, but seems like a good guess.
They're in the gate at Oaklawn, and then the fairgrounds fifth is hanging around the gate. So we are literally 3 minutes from finishing things up on the consolation tournament, as well as getting the final table assembled. And there hasn't been tremendous movement into the top 10, just the one incursion, right?
Yeah, there's been a little bit of bouncing at the bottom, but the big name Joe Perry, who came out of nowhere, one of the bubble players from yesterday, all the way up into fifth as of the last leaderboard update. We got the rundown on Perry from Brian Skirka, Monmouth player. Who else do you know, Chris, in the top 10 as of the last?
Well, Jim Meeks has had the big day. He's moved to the top, and Jim's a good player. He's won the World Series.
Yep, Horse Player World Series winner.
And is a great story. You know what they say, if your own horse isn't going to win, root for the best story. And the best story, Jim Meeks with a heart attack Super Bowl Sunday.
I didn't know that.
Two stints placed in.
I didn't keep him away.
Leo, I got to give Big Leo the assist. Leo gets the hat tip.
He was probably sitting next to him down there or something.
Apparently right now he's in the race book.
Gotcha.
He's playing from the race book. Meanwhile, Oaklawn in a driving rainstorm at Oaklawn.
I finally have a winner here. Not that it matters a whole lot, but I'm all over the four horse here. He's gone.
This is Morrow, Texas, for Burl McBride and Walter De La Cruz, and 9-2 again. And the number, by the way, on the Willie Martinez winner, Lady Love, 11.20 and 5.80. So there's another $17. These are helpful numbers.
Yeah, they're the kind that can move up the board because they're not that speculative, but they're solid.
Right.
Prices.
Yeah, contest. What we think of a lot of times as contest type horses,
especially when you're near the end and you're in the hunt. It's the kind of horses you're looking for.
Well, and good job by you, Chris. 9-2 on the winner, Morrow, Texas, a Texas bred by Morrow Tap, Randy Morse. Or I take that back. That's the mare was Randy Nance. Actually, was the name. And here's our last race, Fairgrounds, the fifth. And this group heading in, this is a second-level allowance race going 6 furlongs. The likes of Telekinesis in here, the Stone Street colt, the Ghost Zapper, who was second in the Lexington. Let's listen to the call from New Orleans.
And angles over while in the clear of Omega Moon. No Funny Biz and Making a Mark is right there in this leading quartet as Transatlantic Kiss made the first move. Leads Omega Moon by 3/4 of length. Making a Mark is third, No Funny Biz in fourth. We trail back to Flat Lucky and the Delta Challenger. Plot Twist has dropped back to last as they enter the far turn. The opening quarter in 22.38 seconds. It's Transatlantic Kiss making a seasonal bow. Leads them to 3 furlongs from home. Transatlantic Kiss. Omega Moon has been right there with the front runner. Short lead for Transatlantic Kiss. Omega Moon right there on the outside. No Funny Biz. And toward the rail is Making a Mark. We trail back to Flat Lucky and Plot Twist. Last to make the top of the fairground stretch. Under 1/4 mile to go. Half mile in 45.93 seconds. It's Transatlantic Kiss. Omega Moon charging hard. No Funny Biz and Making a Mark. Looks to move up between horses. And then farther back is Flat Lucky in fifth and Plot Twist is last. They come past the 16th. But James Graham, Transatlantic Kiss. No Funny Biz with a long run on the outside for Miga Mena to get it. No Funny Biz by 3/4 of length. Transatlantic Kiss was second. Flat Lucky third. Then Making a Mark. Omega Moon and
Plot Twist. Horse field with a 3-5 favorite entry.
Yeah, the second longest price on the board.
8-1, and we can see that Morrow, Texas paid $11.60 and $6, so there's another $17.60, and this is going to be worth $25 or so.
Yeah, and that one is probably a lot shorter in the contest room than it was on the tote board. because that if you're playing that race, you're very likely to be on one of those two prize horses if you need one.
We will wait for this. 3-5-6-1, and so you ended up with the second and third longest prices hooking up for the exacta, and you're going to have an $18 horse at the very least, somewhere between $18 and $19.80, and we'll see how high it is. But this could be worth $27, $28 combined.
Well, it could be worth $50,000 for somebody to move up into the final table, and it's a good chance we might see a little movement off that.
Look at that. Chris Larmy is with us, and these guys are.
Well, the difference between 10th and 11th place is $25,000.
Wow. So. Wow. And, of course, the chance to win a whole bunch more, obviously. Marshall Graham has moved into ninth. Wow. This is going to get absolutely harrowing. And
I hope he had that because he might get passed based on that result.
Absolutely. Jim Meeks, 301.80. Robert Gilbert, 293.20. Randy Gallo, 285.60. Steven Simonovic, 270.60. Joe Perry, 270.20. Steve Gravina, 265.40. Chris Littlemore, 264 even. He's actually had a quiet session. Frank Klitsch made a jump, 260.30. Marshall Graham, 255.70. And John Pinder, 255.60. And there's your top 10 without the last
two.
Without the Laurel, this is missing the
Oaklawn Fairgrounds.
Oaklawn, Laurel, and Fairgrounds. No funny business. 2040 and 1240, 3280.
That's a big price. That probably helps somebody.
Wow.
Yeah, some interesting stories. I mean, Chris Littlemore, if he could somehow repeat, would be amazing if he could go back to back in the NHC. That's almost an impossible feat.
Looking at that number, let's go back to 10th. John Pinder, 255.60, Chris, and let's put $30 under that. So call it 20. Take it down to 20. Basically $24, and we'll see what that means for.
Probably quite a few people who could have moved up based on that result.
Well, and here, grab the mic, Seth. Seth Merrow joining us. I haven't had a chance to check in with Seth since early yesterday, but we're going down, let's see, to 220, call it, yeah, 224. 220. You don't have it turned on.
I should know that. I'm a TV guy.
Number 30, the 30th place right now, Darwin Laborda at 225.60. That basically, with the horse at Fairgrounds that just ended things, you got 20 players basically that if any of them got it, they're going to jump
almost,
in.
Yeah, you're almost guaranteed several of those will have that horse.
Keep your eyes on Matt Valvoggi. He's an Albany guy.
Yes.
Played hockey at Union. He's in the financial business now in Albany. I talked to him yesterday because he's a local guy, but he just hit the Fairgrounds horse, and he was about 20 out of 10th place at that point.
Well, he's in nice shape. He had 236.60. Did he hit anything else?
Since the 230s, I don't know, but he did have the winner at Fairgrounds, and so that had
$32, yeah. And so Valvoggi, who we were looking at yesterday, as it happens, gets him to of just under, gets him just under 270, Seth, and that is absolutely going to propel him not just into the top 10, but around 6th or 7th.
Yeah, I mean, assuming that holds up, this at a minimum, that's worth $20,000 or $30,000.
First time here.
From where he was to where he is on the board
now. How about that? Did he qualify at Capital?
No, but he's an Albany guy, so I was keeping kind of track of the Albany guy, the locals. And I think he qualified online, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you keep track of the season opener at the Carrier Dome in La Crosse from the other night?
I did not.
Oh, where Colgate beat number 10 Syracuse. First
yeah.
time since 2007, and the Raiders were awesome, knocking off the Orange under Coach K. We have Colgate's got a Coach K for La Crosse, brand new. as it happens. I've been waiting to spring that on you.
I'm really thrilled about that.
Are you a lacrosse guy?
No.
You don't like it?
I mean, don't know anything about lacrosse. Certainly not New
York
lacrosse.
Where'd you grow up?
I was an Air Force brat, so.
Oh, so you're all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All over the world.
Well, all right.
I'm a child of the world.
I love it. Well, now there's nothing but to do but to sit and wait. Seth, you've had another 24 hours of experience. What do you think?
It's been exciting so far, but I'm anticipating, as we've seen in the last couple of races, the level of excitement to step up as people, you know, consolation prize package gets shot at, but also the folks who are on the line for making that final table. So as we get down to the nitty-gritty here, I expect plenty of cheering with, you know, as you say, plenty of folks in shouting distance, and so it'll be fun to see. This morning, I saw you had him on, I think, yesterday, but this morning before the event started, I went downstairs and talked to Marshall Graham, who we've had on plenty of times up at Saratoga,
yes.
And he was having a pretty good day, it looked like, so far today, so hopefully he gets to the final table. He'll be fun to watch, but looking forward to it, certainly. As I say, my first time here, and it's kind of lived up to the expectations. As I have gotten the bug listening to the radio show the past few years.
Too nice. And you've always said how you were intoxicated by it and how fun it was to listen in. And we got so many people that hung on for all 7 hours yesterday and are absolutely loving it. And things are only going to get more exciting from here. Of course, racing action continuing around the country.
Yeah, and what's really cool this year is we have a very compact final table. There's not a lot of spread from top to bottom, so there's going to be some real excitement. A few of the previous years, we've had a big spread between the leader and the rest of the field, but unless something really unexpected happens, it should be really exciting.
And it also, I mean, it felt like we were going to get a big spread the way that Robert Gilbert was up by 50. I mean, literally.
It was crazy yesterday because we wanted to get an interview with him. He wasn't here. He made all his bets at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, and Friday, too. Friday, too. We don't know. We don't know where he is. Nobody. I know that Pete got a chance, I think, to talk to him, but he's a mystery man.
Well, I mean, so that's, you know, we've always wanted to see that final table be, you know, exciting with lots of movement and everybody having a chance going to the last few races. So I think we're going to get that this year, which should be really fun.
I'll hesitate to. There's really no reason to go through this top 10 again. I mean, other than to reiterate Meeks, Gilbert, Gallo, Simonovic, Perry, Gravina, Littlemore, Klitsch, Graham, and Pinder. But we know from the insight here offered from Seth Merrow that Matt Valvoggi.
I talked to him yesterday, and I had to have him pronounce it about three times.
Very nice. How old a guy?
Young. I'm guessing 30.
Really?
Yeah, young guy.
Oh,
hockey at Union. And
well, we won't hold that against him.
I'll tell you a fun guy that on the final table, it was like he's in pretty much for sure, Steve Siminovich.
I rode in the elevator with him the other day.
Yeah, he's a character. He's kind of a high-energy guy, younger guy, so you know, he'll be fun. I think he'll be a good addition to the table, and I'll be cheering. He'll be one of the guys I'm cheering for.
You know, pending any movement once we get the totals, I was struck. I always do this every year, and I go back to the odds that were set by Tony Neville and Keith Shamblin when they, you know, set the odds for players to bet on themselves. And stunningly, I mean, there were only two horses that were part of the field, 6-1, and you're going to get that.
Two horses, I like it.
But then Jim Meeks, 75-1. Bob Gilbert, 75-1. Helmers was in the top 10 at the time, 60-1. Littlemore, 100-1. Marlaire, 100-1. There were only two players, as it happens. Simonovic was one of the two players, 150-1 in Pinder. But six of the individual interest out of the 10 were the lower side of the odds set, as opposed to the 150s and the 175s and so forth. And I thought that was pretty good job by Tony Neville and company to set those odds.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do at all.
No, I mean, because we get unknowns all the time.
Yeah.
And so, and you got to figure two field horses, that's that's about right, right? That 20% of the final table, and there you go. We're going to wait this out. This can be 10 minutes. It could be half an hour. Seth, the exploits, I understand you accused me of playing Keno.
No. I said you called me grandma for playing Keno. Somebody misunderstood the story.
Set the Matisse boys straight. I saw them this morning, and they said, "I heard you were playing Keno," and I'm like, "That mother."
I said to you I was playing Keno, and you then referred to me as grandma.
Well, did you head down to Fremont Street, play some penny slots at Gold Nugget?
I have not made it out yet. A couple of long days, so I haven't made it beyond here. I gotta have to do maybe tonight a little sightseeing. We'll go see the water show and watch the volcano go off. And who
nice.
Knows?
Absolutely.
Who knows what Vegas fun we'll have?
How much Vegas fun do you partake of over the years, Chris?
Usually not a whole lot until after this is over. So, you know, even when I come out early, I end up spending most of my time. Looking at races, being down here playing races, playing in the contest.
That's so, what it's all about.
Try to go out in the evening and have a nice dinner somewhere.
There you go. How many have you qualified for?
I think this is number 14 for me.
I met a very nice set of players this morning before we started broadcasting, and I'm embarrassed. I'm going to forget his name, and their tags were turned around, and you don't want to reach for somebody and turn the tag, but he's been here 17 out of 20.
Was it Rich Goodall?
No. No, it was I'll find the list. I'll find the list of and I'll figure it out.
That's a lot.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was he missed the first year and then got the second. He was here for the second, and then I think he missed one more.
That's pretty good.
Obviously, badges of honor. The more of these that you can capitalize on. Pete, jump in here for a minute as I will take an opportunity.
It's an interesting scene.
Oh, they're off and running at Gulfstream right now, so we'll see. That's
not in the contest.
Yeah, this is in the contest. The last at Gulfstream was the last from...
But I'm glad you came back.
If there are people rooting, they're rooting for their own purposes.
That's right, for their betting.
Which is fine.
They're all firing. Yeah, we're horse players here. So.
Yeah, they're not going to... I mean, a lot of people will stick around to essentially see the show. Yeah. We're watching right now to our right the construction of the physical final table. Boy, there are a lot of people rooting there, though. Interesting scene in the lobby where I just was. The filing out. I saw a lot of players who were in the semifinal round with glum looks on their face, including John Pinder, who I got a chance to meet, who is he counts as horse racing young. He's about 41 years old, San Antonio guy, a loyal podcast listener, apparently, which made me very happy in the Money Players podcast. And he just said some kind words, and I told him to try to come back and be on the air. He's had a great run, but he was out of bullets and I think in the 10th spot, so he was assuming that he's going to be getting past.
More likely. You know, we were talking, I think it was yesterday, about how the final table format, and sometimes it hasn't been that exciting. I think this year... We have
good?
A nice, compact leaderboard.
Yeah. That's
nobody's
a great point.
Running away with it. This could be our most exciting final table ever and maybe put to bed some of the grumpiness about the format. Just kidding.
I wasn't grumpy. I was just asking.
No, and I agree with you. I mean, we're always looking at ways to make it more exciting. But I think this year, even with the current format, we should have some movement on that leaderboard throughout the day. And it should come down to that last race with... You know, several people at least have
drawing live. That's what you want, right? If you can have four or five players drawing live in that last race. Now, has anybody heard a weather update from Southern California? Because with that last race,
it's probably going to be off the turf.
Yeah, that's my fear.
But I don't know. I haven't checked. Let me look. I can look it on my phone here and see.
Make you play amateur meteorologist as well.
Yes.
Seth, what have you been up to today? What stories are you following? What have you been seeing?
Well, when I sat down, I said Matt Valvoggi, who's right over there in the the light blue top young guy from Albany, and because he's from Albany, he's a local guy.
Nice.
And he had hit that. He was about $20 out of 10th place and hit that fairgrounds race.
Oh, boy.
So I'm assuming he's
going to
be in contention anyway. To you know, as I say, young guy, first time here. He just kind of got in the tournament side of things this year. So they've kind of been rooting along with him a little bit. We talked to him yesterday at the end of the day because, again, he's a local guy and he was in pretty good position. At the end of yesterday, he was 21, 22, 23, something like that. And so, obviously, you come into the last day in that kind of a position, you're in contention to wind up on the stage at the end of the day.
I've been butchering his name. What's the correct pronunciation?
Valvoggi.
Valvoggi,
yeah.
Okay.
I said to Steve I had to have him pronounce it about three times yesterday before I got it.
It's just, it's the W on the end that threw me
Y-I.
Well, okay.
Yeah, which is, you don't normally see that.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, that's good. We'll get. I'll try not to butcher that again as we go on. Now, is the semifinal round? Is there one more race left here? Or
no, we're done.
We're done. Okay, thus all the
We're just waiting for the final standings to be posted. But, boy, there was plenty of opportunities for people to move up on those last few races. So I would expect to see some. Especially that last race at Fairgrounds, a small field, only a couple prize horses, and one came in. That they're probably
what was that with the win in the place, yeah. $32 something
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
So and even before that, the Oaklawn, you know, that horse was solid 4 or 5 to 1. So, you know, it could be quite different because it was fairly compact. There could be, you know, people. We looked as far down as 20 or 30 places below the top 10. You could have moved up. If you had the right horse.
And I'm sure some will have done just that. We'll get all the information here in a minute. Other information that has come in since I sat down last, the Fairgrounds horse, Marshall Graham had. So I think we can safely say he's going
right.
to
be, Marshall will be
at
in
the
then.
Final table.
Because I think he was top 10.
Yeah, he was
that,
eighth
so.
Before
yeah.
that. So he'll end up in the mid, what would that be, the mid, like 275.
Yeah, I talked to Marshall this morning, and he was at live going into today with two entries.
Yes.
I've talked to a bunch of guys over the past couple of days. To me, two entries is tough.
How to manage them.
Yeah.
Well, and Marshall's a perfect example of that because typically contest players will talk about their two entries in terms of my good entry and my bad entry. You put your best opinion on the one with the highest score. His entries yesterday throughout the day flip-flopped two or three times. It kept being his second best horse. If you could somehow get all those on one ticket, he'd be our leader at the moment. But the fact is, if you can just not let that bother you and just focus on the leverage that those two entries give you, you have an opportunity to run deep with he and two other players, as it turned out, had twice as many chances to move up in this semifinal round. We'll see if either of the others, Christy Moore or Scott Fitzgerald, were able to take advantage of it. It seems like Marshall was and should be among our players at the final table.
Yeah, he's if he had that Fairgrounds horse, there's no
he'll
doubt
be in.
He's there.
And interesting to see what happens with our $1 million bonus players. I spoke with Steve DeCaspers on his way out of the ballroom. He was in the best shape going into the day with 17th place, did not have a day today, ended up, he was one of the players with the forlorn expression on the face heading home. But it'll be interesting to see if Joe Rosen managed to make a move, and there was another $1 million bonus in play as well. Mike Mulvihill, either of them potentially making a move to get up here. I think it's just going to be a few minutes. We're watching Casey Hamilton of the NTRA doing the setup on the final table right now, the Julep Cups, the Eclipse Award Trophy, and there's a little bit of
a
buzz.
Give Michelle some love along with Casey.
Where's Michelle? Is she back
there
too?
Yeah, she's
she does such a great job. Was happy to have her as a guest on the pregame show for the NHC. I felt bad stealing 5 minutes from Michelle this week when she's so busy with so many things going on, but she was great and always does such a good job taking care of players and keeping
really
this event going.
They really do a good
going.
Job hosting the event. There's no yeah. question about it. I have to blow back over to my
yeah, you
my
should
broadcast
do some work.
Station.
We'll do a little musical chairs here. Chris.
It's been fun.
Excellent.
Maybe I'll
yeah.
check back in before the end of the day. Keep up the good work. I will continue to chat while you put on that the headphones. They're just under the wire. at Laurel, so that one's become official. Again, we're waiting for the leaderboard to get updated because all the consolation and semifinal races have been run. So when that gets updated, your men will jump in and give you that update. I'm going to head over to my, as I say, broadcast booth. So it's been fun.
Always a pleasure, Seth, and thank you. The consummate broadcasting pro, keeping things going, keeping that from the dreaded dead air. My father would be proud that we didn't have any dead air there during a fairly complicated four-seat transition. And now, with that, we'll hand you right back to your host with a lovely-looking plate from the buffet in front of him now, Steve Bick.
Well, you got to take your opportunity to get a little something in, and there'll be a banquet here later for those that don't know how this works. Once the deciding races get played, there'll be a little intermezzo. They'll reset the room, and we all come back for an evening of entertainment, which I know so many looking forward to. Even though you had the preview of Dave Goodfriend's speech, we pretty much hit on many of his high points the other day on Friday. He's certainly going to light things up.
I think my best guess, just from reading between the lines, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a dig or two. But I think, and I know Chris feels this way, it's going to come down to free consulting, is the way that I'm thinking. He's a guy with strong opinions, and he'll deliver them, and there'll probably be some stuff of value. We've talked before about, you said yesterday, Chris, that while the method of delivery isn't always the one that you prefer to hear, admit that the guy has some good ideas and does love the game.
Oh, yeah, everyone does. I think, everyone's got an opinion. Lots of people have good ideas. Just, you want to try to express it in a constructive way if you can.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does that. I mean, again, I could see a sly line or two. There were a couple things when he was on the pod recently that I said to him after, you want me to leave that in? Like hint, hint. Maybe that was a little low. But he'll get the line off. But again, I think there'll be some good ideas just based on
And if it's on ideas, that's great. Just as long as we don't get into anything personal, then I think it'll be great.
Well, we're looking forward to the banquet tonight. We will crown a new champion at this 20th NHC. The stage is set literally to our right. We're just waiting for the announcement now about who the 10 players will be to go on to compete for the $800,000 first prize, as well as the title of Horse Player of the Year. Chris, have you have any insight on what happened at this year's Eclipse Awards that we did not get to hear from last year's winner, Chris Littlemore, who apparently was so fired up he decided he's just going to have to try to win the thing again to give his speech next year?
That would be so amazing if he could to win back-to-back NHC. Is just so improbable, and he may have a shot. I mean, he was up there. We'll see if he stays in the top 10.
264 at last count, so he's going to likely have had to add to that to be there.
I'll have to ask. I'm guessing maybe he did not want to get up in front of his people and talk.
That's not what I heard.
No?
I heard he had remarks ready.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll try to find out.
Yeah, let's see if we can
figure
it out.
I was a little disappointed because this is the opportunity to kind of represent horse players.
Exactly. That's
at the Eclipse
idea.
Award. That was the whole idea of, it wasn't necessarily Steve saying Christ. This is the best handicapper on the planet. It was
correct.
Just, here's the representative this year for horse players to the industry.
That's exactly right. And I've talked to some passionate players who feel like, oh, there should be this system, and it should really try to reward the best player, not the person who had the best 3 days. And I'm just like, no, you're not getting it. They're not there as a selfish honor. They're there as a representative to honor all of us. And it was part of the very founding ideas of this event. And I know Stephen Crist himself, very proud of that concept, and it was a bit of a bummer to not get to see that happen in the way that it has in the past. But mistakes happen, and all we can do is try to point them out and correct them where possible. And as far as Chris's remarks, he's got a few outs here. He can either win again and do it next year, or perhaps at some point we'll get him over here, or I'll have him as a guest on the podcast next week. Maybe that works too. Or you on your show, Steve. And we can get him to give the spiel then, because I want to hear what the guy has to say. And I'm sure you do too, Chris.
Yeah, I really want to see the horse player up there, getting the respect that horse players deserve within the industry.
Here we go, baby.
That was sort of the whole idea behind awarding an Eclipse to a horse player. So it was a little disappointing not to see them speak at the.
I told Bray Arsenault that I would have him on, and he could.
Oh, great! Yeah,
give the thing from
that's perfect.
Word go. I think they've just cleared the screen, and so we are maybe seconds away.
The drama builds.
The drama does build, and we'll see if Keith Shamblin is going to announce. And here we go. Here we go. Maybe let's see about picking the mic up and see if we can pick up his audio.
If we could have your attention.
Here it is.
We've got the unofficial results for our final table. These are unofficial at this point. We continue to audit. The leader going into the final table, Jim Meeks.
All right, Jim.
$1.80. Second, our longtime leader, Robert Gilbert, $297.40. Third, Joe Perry, $291.40.
What a day from Perry.
Fourth, Steven Simonovich.
All right, Steve-o.
$297.60.
He'll light up the table.
Fifth place, defending champ, Chris Littlemore.
Wow. Steve-o, that's Steve-o from Public Handicap.
$296.20. Oh. Congratulations, Chris. Sixth place, one of the legends, J. Randy Gallo.
All right.
$235.60. Seventh place, Richard Coles, $275.80. Eighth place. Seventh place, Marshall Graham.
There's Marshall.
All right, Marshall.
$276.90. Eighth place, Richard Coles. You're still in there, Richard. $275.80. Ninth place, Matt Vaglici, $273.60.
That's Seth's Albany guy.
And our 10th place contestant at the final table, it's F. Drew, Francis Drew, I believe, $268.80.
Now, we talked about Frank Drew yesterday, didn't we? Did somebody have a line on him?
Check your scores.
I think somebody told me he might be associated with the Matisse crew. Is that possible?
We just announced we make their way to the front of the room.
Well, that's a pretty strong final table, Chris. What are your thoughts on hearing those names?
Well, one thing I really like is a 10th place guy is one mid-price horse away from the top.
That's great.
So I think we're going to have some real excitement. Chris Littlemore, if he could somehow repeat, would be amazing. Jim Meeks, a great guy, good player, and the fact that, he had that major health issue just recently is pretty amazing. Steve-O, Steve Simonovich.
Now, you are fellow public handicappers with Steve-O. What is his story? How did he come into the public handicapper team, and how well do you know him?
Well, he actually came in the public handicapper team when he won the contest one year.
Okay, so he's a former PH. The PH Challenge, a six-month contest.
He's
a test
owner.
Of endurance.
He owns quite a few horses, and he's just been a long-time kind of player. And he's aggressive in terms of selections. I don't think he'll be playing chalk on the final table. He'll be trying to win it, so that'll be fun to watch. And then we have, of course, Marshall. He's as sharp as they come. I'm sure he'll have all the math figured out, exactly, how he'll get
Professor
there.
Of economics.
Yes.
Indeed.
And teaches classes on horse racing.
Yep.
Handicapping. He literally teaches people how to play the ponies, so that should be fun. I don't have the whole list in front of me.
Well,
I think it really is going to be...
You made a bunch of great points. That was terrific analysis.
Meeks, Gilbert, Perry, Simonovich, Littlemore, Gallo.
Gallo, there's a legend.
One of the greats. He was downplaying where he is in this game. He in the NTRA release, he was talking about how he's old and there's so many players better than him. I don't think there's anybody more respected than him in this room. And here's the console. Oh my gosh, Weaver! Ice cold exacta.
Very nice. Very nice. And he's going to join us today, too.
Fabulous.
Paul Sherman ends up 19th.
Wow, he made a run.
Bobby Shoemaker, 29th.
All right, Scott ran third.
Very good stuff from Scott. Speaking of public handicapper, yeah. These public handicapper guys are pretty good, Chris.
Yeah, we were all missing the cut by a couple bucks yesterday, but Scott did. Steve-O held us up, and Scott came on strong in the consolations.
So very cool.
That's good. The day that some of the people had yesterday, with all those bombs coming in, scores of like 250 on a day, points in a day, it was pretty amazing.
Incredible stuff. And I think of Gallo, the day two money leader, to go from whatever it was, 15 to 250 or something crazy. Let's look at the prize money for the top 10. Even the 10th place finisher assured at least $50,000 from here. And then as we go up the ladder, I'll just read the numbers. It goes to $52,000 for 9th, $55,500 for 8th, $58,500 for 7th, $65,000 for 6th, $75,000 for 5th, and then we get into the six-figure range with $100,000 for 4th, $125,000 for 3rd, the jump up to $250,000 for 2nd, and then all the way up to 1st at $800,000. If you are in one of the lower rungs, Chris, given how much that money goes up, is that going to affect the type of horses that you take in terms of price? Are you going to really be trying to look to get into that top four or top two, or are you just happy to progressively take it one step at a time and move your way up the leaderboard and see what happens?
Well, I think it all depends on the leaderboard. This is a pretty tight leaderboard, so I think you can make a pretty good move without being really aggressive in your pick. And remember, you have 7 races to move up, so you don't have to do it all in one race. So I think at the beginning, you'd just be looking for, solid horses that you like. If you can hit a 4-to-1 shot, you can make a pretty good jump up that board and hit a 2 or 3 of those, and then all of a sudden you're in a position to win the contest.
Well, that's what's amazing about this. It's $32 top to finish,
right.
And this is very different. You talked earlier, Pete, yesterday about, having a final table with volatility and with, some wild occurrence, and this could be the one.
It really feels that way.
I've been rubbing that in on Pete since he came back. No, really, an 8-to-1 shot or a 9-to-1 shot could put the guy in 10th and first.
It's a great range, and we're gonna see how these players approach it. There's gonna be a lot of potentially, as the races go on too, jockeying for position, the idea of not wanting to be blocked. And we've seen in the past game theory comes into play. The Paul Matisse year, he said he spent most of his time thinking about what Roger Satina was going to do behind him.
But the game theory is a little bit different when it's a compact leaderboard. When you sort of have separation and you're like battling with one or two people, then that comes more into play. But now
you can play defense a bit more in that scenario.
Really hard. It's hard to play defense when you have everybody that can
all right.
jump past you.
And I think with that, we're going to throw it to a break while things continue to get organized here at the ballroom at Treasure Island. And then when we come back at 1:40.
No, we're going to continue on. I've been pointing out that 1:40 is our first final table race.
Yeah, so we'll have plenty of time to set it up, get some more information about the folks at the final table, and then things will begin. This is like going to be the pregame show when we come back, and then at 1:40, the final table races will begin. They will go all the way through 4:45 or so, and then, of course, we're going to stick with it and attempt to get our winner on the air and have an opportunity to deconstruct it all the goings-on here at the ballroom at Treasure Island. Marshall Graham walking by, looking to take his seat at the final table. Players congregating by the side of the stage. And we will be back on At the Races, special coverage of NHC, the 20th NHC, right after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.